Hello.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Yep. Hiya.
Hi, David. It's James again from MMA Legal. You okay? Hello, can you hear
Oh,
me?
yeah, there. Yeah. So you're breaking up
No,
there.
no worries. I just need to ask you data protection questions again before we proceed. Can you confirm for me your date of birth, please, David?
Yeah, 5370.
And then your postal address?
It's 6 Dargavel Gardens, Ormiston Crescent, Dundee, DD4, Euro UQ.
Just let you know, calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. So just to continue with the witness statement, we're now moving on to people involved, reporting and institutional knowledge. The first question is, across all placements, who were the main people responsible? So what I've done before I called you back up is that I just copied and pasted the brief description of Mr. Duff and Mr. Byrne that you've already provided. Just for any assurance of doubt, is there anyone else who you're able to recall who was responsible for the abuse that you was victim of?
No, not really, no.
No problem. Were other children affected, and did you witness abuse or harm to anyone else?
Yes.
And what harm would you say you witnessed?
I've seen boys getting the same treatment as me on a couple of occasions where get grabbed by the back of the hair. I remember a couple of guys getting taken into that cell, the HUD. I remember them getting a beating and things. And I also remember one of the times it must have just saw, even after he was taken into the cell, when he was back out, I remember there was an awful carry on. It was like a riot going on. It was like this boy just must have been cracking up that he had been taken in there and beaten up. But it escalated back out into the corridors and in front of everybody. So I do recall a few events like that, yeah.
Yes, but yeah, I saw boys getting the same treatment as me on a couple of occasions, dragged by the back of the hair, dragged into the cells for a beating, etc. One time there was a riot going on following one boy being beaten in there, which escalated into the corridor. So there are a few instances I recall. Why do you believe staff or the institution knew or should have
Sorry.
known? Why do you believe the staff or the institution knew or should have known about the abuse that was going on at Burnside?
They knew what was going on, yeah.
And why is it that you believe that?
Well, see, like, if I was marched in the corridor and into the cell and that, you had to pass the office and things, and there was other staff walking about, so that it was witnessed, by other staff.
Yeah.
Nothing was ever done about it. Like you say, you couldn't go speak to anybody. You couldn't have put. I remember my mum went and confronted staff and everything after a visit when I was there, and my mum was cracking up. But no, nothing ever got done. It was a case of no, that never happened, or it wasn't like he said it was, and it was just, everything was swept under the carpet.
Yeah, so I just got, they knew what was going on. You had to pass numerous staff on your way to the cell, so they knew what was going on. I remember once my mum was cracking up to the staff after she visited me, and I told her about what was going on, but everything was swept under the carpet.
Even like some of the times that I told you when I had to go and stand in the PE hall in the middle of the night and things, you had to walk past like the staff office and things before you went down the stairs. So it was witnessed. They knew what was going on. It was almost like staff sticking together and the kids stick together. nothing was ever said by any other staff apart from a case of, well, just knuckle down and behave, you know.
Yeah.
You try to speak to them or any of them, but like you said, Mrs. Purry, I was at school with her daughter, Donna. I remember speaking to Mrs. Purry, and she couldn't really do anything, you know what I mean? She actually knew me, but she couldn't really. It was a case of trying to behave, you know. That's as far as you ever got to speak to somebody, you know. There was the good staff in there. There was. It wasn't like they were all bad, you know. But there was nothing they could do for you, you know. There was a case of just try and behave and go on with your day and stay out of trouble, you know. And that's as far as it went.
Yeah, I'm just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll recall back to you what I've got and let me know if there's anything you'd like to change on this.
Yeah.
So they knew what was going on. You had to pass numerous staff on your way to the cell, so they knew what was going on. I remember once my mum was cracking up with the staff after she visited me, and I told her about what was going on, but everything was swept under the carpet. Even when I stood in the PE hall in the middle of the night, I would have to pass the staff office on my way down to the stairs, so they knew what was going on. It felt like the staff stuck together and the kids stuck together. Even when I told Mrs. Pirri I knew her daughter Donna, there was nothing she could do for me. There were a few staff like that who were okay, but there was nothing they could do and would try to say, and would try to say for us to try our best to behave.
Yeah, just try and sort of, yeah, that was it. Just sort of encourage us, but just try and stay in trouble and you'll be okay, sort of, you know. I'd never been able to put in a complaint or anything like that.
That was literally the next question. So would you say complaints were discouraged, ignored, and punished?
Yeah, you weren't allowed to put in a complaint or things. Like you say, my mother confronted them and she was left baffled and angry. I remember by the time of the end of my assessment, my mum was just wanting us home. You know?
Yeah.
We'll probably come to that later on, you know, but that's the scary side as well. I mean, to be taken away beyond parental control and your parents were able to go in and say, no, he's coming home, you know.
Have you ever reported the abuse to the police, an inquiry, a professional or any other authority?
No.
No problem. And so the next question, the next section is movement between placement and leaving care. The first question is, why did you move between placements and were the reasons explained? Obviously, you've not moved between any other care setting, so I've just put NA. The reasons for my care were that I was beyond parental control, as that was explained to you.
Yeah.
Did you ever ask to be moved when you was in Burnside Assessment Centre?
No.
And you never ran away?
No, not from Burnside. But you were told if you wanted to go, you could go. We'll open the gate for you. You'll go, but you'll be in more bother when you get back. I do remember people running away. I remember seeing that, and there was quite a few. On you go. They wouldn't chase after you or nothing. They would take off, and it's a case of, you'll be punished for that when you get back. But no. There's no running away or anything like that from the care home.
No problem. I never ran away or asked to be moved. You were told if you wanted to go, they'd open the gates and encourage you to go, but said you would be punished when you are brought back.
Yep.
What age did you leave care, David?
Yeah. Get up there.
Sorry, what was that?
All right, I broke up there. I couldn't hear you right.
Oh, yeah, no problem. When and at what age did you leave care?
14, yep.
What was your circumstances afterwards?
After leaving the care home?
Yeah.
Things just got worse. The things got by 15 I was out on the street.
I'm sorry to hear that, David.
Yeah.
Was you kicked out by your parents?
Yeah.
And do you remember why?
Just there was still trouble going on, you know, like school still and no going to school and getting taken home from the police and that, and yeah, eventually there was a case where you can't live here anymore, it was upsetting the family, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. So I do remember by the time I was 15, yeah, I was out on the streets. I remember getting put into a hostel because I was under the age of 16. I wasn't even able to work. I couldn't even go to the dole office, you know, to sign on and things to get money.
Yeah.
And I was issued with a payment book that I would receive money every week. But when I went into that hostel, they just took the book, they took all the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what I didn't understand was as well was like I was taken away from my parents, you know, from beyond parental control.
But
it was them that got us back out of Burnside, you know. Why were they able to get me out of Burnside after that assessment? If I was beyond parental control, you know.
Yeah, just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and I'll recall what I've got so far. And again, if there's anything you'd like me to change or add, just let me know.
Yep.
I left her when I was 14. Things just got worse. By 15, I was out on the streets. I was kicked out by my parents, as there were still issues with school and being taken home by the police, etc.
Yep.
I wasn't able to work, go to the dole office to sign on. I never understood why I was taken off my parents for parental control, but they were the ones who got me out of Burnside. Why?
Yeah.
How were they able to take me out of there if I was beyond parental control?
Exactly. Yeah.
The next question is: how did the experience affect you at the time? This being in relation to your feelings of safety, trust, confidence, your sleeping behaviour, education, relationships, or ability to speak up.
After the care home?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
Like immediately after the care home?
There was a lot of things going on, like the drinking and the drug taking and things started. Things just spiraled out of control, really.
So when you mentioned the drug taking, are you able to recall what drugs you started to take at the time?
Very early days was cannabis and amphetamine.
And amphetamine.
I was actually introduced to cannabis in the care home. Crazy.
Very, very crazy. I'll put that into as well, so obviously it's there. Would you say your time at Burnside, that's the first time you was ever introduced to drugs?
That was the first time I was ever introduced to drugs, yeah, in Burnside. Yep.
And was you taking cannabis when you was in Burnside?
I smoked it when I was in Burnside, yeah, for the first time.
No problem. But after the care home, there was a lot going on. The drinking and drug taking started and I spiralled out of control. The first time I was ever introduced to drugs was in Burnside. I was smoking cannabis there.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything else what you'd like to add or change in relation to how the experience affected you immediately following leaving Burnside?
I just felt very alone, confused, and nobody to speak to. Like I say, things weren't working out with my parents, and yeah, even social work department for being I was like, they couldn't do anything. I don't know why, but it was like they couldn't do anything. You know, it was just. Even the truancy from school and everything, and all that started and everything, and I was never once, I never had a truancy officer at my mum's door or anything. No, I just left.
Yeah.
I was, like, the school were quite happy that I wasn't there, and it was terrible. So basically, I was getting left to my own devices from a young age. Like I say, I was out on the streets at 15-year-old, and was he even old enough to go to the dole office or anything? It wasn't very nice. Almost like you're just left to go into survival mode, you know? Just see to yourself, no guidance from anybody. And then by 15, just left on my own to do it, whatever way it was going to go.
I'm just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll relay to you what I've added, and then let me know if there's anything you'd like to change.
Yeah.
But I felt very alone, confused, and with no one to speak to. Like I said, things at home weren't working out. Even the social work departments were unable to do anything for me. I don't know why. It was terrible. I was left to my own devices at a young age. I wasn't old enough to go to sign on for benefits or any supporting services. Like I was left to be in survival mode with no guidance.
Yep.
How has it affected your mental health, David? This includes any anxiety, any depression, trauma symptoms?
I've been through the anxiety. I was years on diazepam. I'd still have to take... I broke down probably in my 30s and... I believe it all stemmed from this because I had to go to counselling and things. I was put on antidepressants and things. And I'm still on antidepressants and that now. It was like later in life it just sort of... That's when I broke down and everything sort of come out, you know?
Yeah. There's only so long you can keep things buried, isn't
there? Yeah.
In relation to the diazepam, do you remember how many milligrams you take?
Yeah, it was prescribed either 5 or 6, I'm not quite sure, 5 milligram tablets a day.
And how many would you have to take a day?
I'd have to take them all.
And how many would you say this is like a rough estimate?
When I first started, it was 5 or 6 that I started on. I think it was like 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and 2 at night.
And then the same for the...
At that time when I was getting that, I still hadn't broke down and let out, you know, what had been happening or happened to us in my younger days and things.
Yeah.
And then when I broke down eventually, I was put on antidepressants and had to go to counselling and things.
Do you recall what you take? What antidepressants you take?
Yeah, it's escitalopram.
Escitalopram?
Escitalopram, yeah.
Hold on one moment.
It's spelled escitalopram.
Fantastic. And do you recall the milligram?
It's 20 milligrams to take, the highest dose.
And how many tablets per day?
Just one of those a day.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for letting me note that information. How has it affected your physical health, David? It felt sorry. How has it affected your physical health, David? That being your sleep, any chronic pain, alcohol or substance use?
Well, I still don't sleep, and I've never been able to sleep all my life. I actually get sleeping tablets as well. I still take them now. I'll probably be on them for the rest of my life. From the changeover from diazepam, I was put on sleeping tablets. And
do you remember what the sleeping tablets are called?
Yeah, they're Zopiclone.
Zopropone?
Zopiclone. Z-O-P. Z-O-P-I-C-L-O-N-E. Zopiclone.
And how many milligrams?
That's 7.5 milligrams.
And how many do you take of them per night?
One every night. But I've suffered sleep problems all my life, right back to those days, right back to when I was a child.
Can you recall any other drug use, substance use that you stated you took? So at the moment,
yeah,
about
when I was young, yeah,
amphetamines.
I was taking amphetamines, yeah.
Was
and,
there anything else?
Yeah, as I got a wee bit older, I went on to cocaine.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was maybe by the time I was about 17, 18.
And was there any other substances that you've taken following leaving car?
No, just that, the alcohol, the cannabis, amphetamines, cocaine.
No problem. Just made a note of that now. How has it affected your relationships, parenting, friendships, intimacy, trust or isolation?
Oh, I've got serious trust issues. I don't trust anybody until I get to know you, you know what I mean? Relationships were a bit rocky. I'm single now and I'd never want to have another relationship.
I don't blame you. It can be difficult, can't it?
That's just, yeah. Woman, I'm very good for me.
If you knew what was going on in the minds and you could write a book, you'd be a millionaire, David. You'd be a millionaire.
What else was in that question there?
Yeah, I'll relate to you. I'm just going to
yeah.
I'm just going to catch up on the notes. Yeah, so it's how has it affected your relationships, parenting, friendships, intimacy, trust, or isolation?
Yeah, isolation doesn't bother me. I think I was used to it from a young age.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, I spend a lot of time alone, but I think that's just because of the way it was when I was growing up. Yep. There was someone else there. Did you say it again? What was that? See, isolation. What else is it?
Intimacy and trust.
Yeah. What was it? The parent, Betty?
Parenting and friendships.
It made us a very good parent.
You wasn't a very good parent.
It turned me into a very good parent. Once
oh, it turned you into a very good parent.
Yes. Yep.
That's good to hear.
Yep. Always had a good relationship with my kids.
That's fantastic news to hear, David.
Yeah. It was my first kid that turned my life around, really, at the age of 25. It sort of, that's when things started to get better.
Yeah, so I'm just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll relay what I've got, and then just let me know if there's anything you'd like me to change or anything that you'd like me to add, okay?
Yep.
I've got serious trust issues. I don't trust you until I get to know you. Relationships have always been a bit rocky. I'm in single now, and I don't see myself wanting to be in one. Isolation doesn't bother me. Now I spend time at home, but I think that's because I'm older. And then I've got, it turned me into a very good parent, always having a good relationship with my kids. It was my first that turned my life around at the age of 25. That's when things started to get better.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fantastic. How has it affected your education, your work, your confidence, your opportunities, your finances, housing, or your day-to-day stability, David?
Basically, no opportunities. There was, nothing, no work or nothing, but the unemployment was through the roof in many days. That was Margaret Thatcher, you know. So there was no work and things. What else was in that question there, sorry?
Hold on. Yeah, so it was, how has it affected your education, your work, your confidence, any opportunities, finances, housing, or day-to-day stability?
Yeah. What was the first part of that you said there again?
Education.
Education. Come out of school with no education. But by the time it was the O-level time, I wasn't even at school, you know. I come out of Burnside, that would have been second year, so ready to start third year. I went into summer third year and I missed all the fourth year. And nobody once come looking for us, you know, truancy officers or anything. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So you say
come out of school with no education.
You say you didn't attend all of fourth year?
Basically, yeah. I don't recall being in fourth year. At all, not. But why isn't nobody ever get, you know, like truancy officers and things like that? I never even got a chap on the door from a truancy officer.
Yeah, I just so I got basically no opportunities, no work or nothing. Employment was through the roof in those days with Thatcher. There was no work and things, no education when it came to O levels, as I wasn't even at school. Following Burnside, I would have been in my third year of high school. I didn't attend all fourth year, and there was no one who came to try and figure out where I was or why I wasn't there.
Yeah. Like I say, I wasn't even living at home as a 15-year-old, so I was still meant to be at school, you know. But I was living in a hostel and that, and there was no monitor, no guidance at all from anybody. It was almost like the school was happy I wasn't there. My parents were happy that I wasn't causing trouble at their house. I was just left on my own to get on with it.
Yeah, so I've just added on that, saying no guidance at all from anyone. It was like the school was happy I wasn't there, my parents happy I wasn't there, and that I was left to get on with it.
Yep.
Are there any triggers, places, smells, authority figures, institutions or situations you tend to avoid?
I don't like Popper, anyway, for a start.
What police?
I don't know, like being in large crowds and things. I don't. That sort of do with my anxiety and things, which all stems from the young age, the anxiety.
Yeah. Well, at the moment, I tend to avoid the police. I don't like being in large crowds due to my anxiety stemming from a young age.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
What else was in that question?
Yeah, so are there triggers to places, smells, authority figures, institutions, or any situations you tend to avoid?
There's probably a lot of things that I do avoid, but kind of really think offhand, but I like I'm quite happy with my own company, to be honest. It's like I've got serious trust issues and things, you know, and yeah, I'm quite happy to avoid situations if I can. I don't know if it's to do with the depression. I don't know if it stems from childhood. Like I say, I've been left to my own devices from a very young age. It's like I find life easier when I'm just living my own life.
You know, just for punctuation and grammar, and then I'll relay back to you what I've got, and then let me know if there's anything you'd like to change.
Yeah.
I tend to avoid the police. I don't like being in large crowds due to my anxiety stemming from a young age. There are probably there are probably more that I tend to avoid, but I can't recall offhand. I'm quite happy with my own company, if I'm honest, as I have serious trust issues and tend to avoid situations if I can. I don't know if that's because of my depression or my childhood, as I learnt to deal with my own devices from a young age. I found life easy when I'm living my own life.
Yeah.
What impact has this had on your life overall, David? And what do you think may have been different if it hadn't have happened?
Well, education was a disaster, so I was left with nothing, no qualifications or anything, so employment was hard.
Yeah, but I think education would have been better, as it was a disaster. Employment was hard due to having no education.
Yeah. What else was in that question?
What impact has this had on your life overall, and what do you think may have been different if it didn't happen to you?
Well, I do feel like because of the lack of job interviews, I've not had work all my days and things, and I've always felt a bit isolated.
You know,
like not having work friends or things like that. Or, participate in anything, never have done all my days, and a lot of things like that happen, you know, like you meet people through work and friendships and that. I didn't have any of that because I've never done it, so it's always just been me and the kids.
Yeah, so what I've added onto that is, but I do feel like with the lack of job interviews I've had, I felt isolated, not being able to work or be part of society. I couldn't make friendships through work colleagues, as I didn't have that. It's always been me and the kids.
Yeah.
Have you ever received counselling, therapy, mental health?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's the counselling that you've received?
Well, when I broke down in my 30s, and that was all stemming from childhood.
Yeah.
I had to go to counselling and things, yeah. And then I was put on antidepressants and the diazepam and things like that. And I had to go, I remember it was a long time going to counselling and things, you know. And I was always told, even from them, the counsellors and things, it wasn't you, David, it was the system that let you down.
Yeah.
Instead of me sort of thinking, I was the failure and I was the blame for everything, the council, whatever, like, oh, it was your environment, the system and everything that made you like that.
Yeah, so I just put yes, counselling. I broke down in my 30s due to my childhood experience. Then I was placed on my relevant medication. Even they stated that they even stated that it was the system that let me down and that it wasn't me to blame. It was the system and the environment that made me this way.
Yep.
Have you been diagnosed with any relevant condition, and have you been taking any related medication? You have already stated that, so I'm going to put anxiety, depression, sleeping tablets. Let me just go back and get these. Are you receiving support now, David?
Am I receiving support now?
Yeah.
No. I was getting support, maybe about 8 years ago or that. But that was due to I had a bad heart attack, and I ended up having to go in neuropsychology and everything. My heart actually stopped and everything, and I had to get brought back a couple of times. And,
That's unfortunate to hear. I hope
but
you're
that
okay now.
was a that's a different issue, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. So now it's just the next part of the witness statement is just something for me to fill out. So I'm just going to put through now what we have. The only thing I could say is, could any former resident relative partner or professional provide a supporting statement?
Well, mum and dad, sister are all dead now. No
I do
partner.
Apologise.
Yeah, no partners, no nothing. Just me and my kids now. Not really, no. Only people that I've talked about is things that I've told them that is, it would have been the counselling and things.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered all my life, why was I failed? Why was I failed? Why was I let out the care home? Back into my mum and dad's care when I was meant to be beyond parental control. You know, why was social workers not able to do more? I was just, I've always thought about it all my life. Like, why was nothing ever done? And then at the end of all the care homes and everything, even then at the age of 15, I was let go and I was away living in a hostel and everything, you know. It was like it was failed from everything, from education to social workers to nobody. There was no help to nobody. All that. I mean, we were just left to your own devices. Like, I was off after going shoplifting and things when I was young and that, because I had nothing, you know. So I had to go and steal clothes to wear, and I had to go and steal food to live.
So what you've just said, though, David, is that more appropriate for near the end of the witness statement for being reasons for applying. So I have made a note of what you said, and when we get to that question, I'll tell you what I wrote from what you said previous.
Cool.
And then if there's anything what you'd like to add, obviously you can go ahead and freely add, and I will make note. But we're just going to go to the previous claims, application or payments. Have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, redress application, complaint, police report, inquiry statement, or claim to any other scheme about this abuse? Now it's just your reasons for applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme. So, David, why are you applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme, and what would you like to come from telling your story?
Well, it was only recently when I got in contact with you that I didn't even know that this was going on about compensations and that. And I found out, I read that article or something, and then I had a sort of think about my life and thought, I fall into that category.
Yeah, I just put, I had thought about my life and realised that I fall under the category of the Scottish Redress from the abuse that I endured during my time in care. Anything else you'd like me to add there, David?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay, what would an acknowledgement mean to you?
Sorry?
What would an acknowledgement mean to you?
It would mean a lot. It would close the door to say that I wasn't fully to blame, if you know what I mean. Okay, yeah, I got myself in trouble and things, but I feel like the system made things worse for us. And it would be, I would like to acknowledge it and just say, yeah, we got it a bit wrong. Instead of everything being my fault, you know? Like I say, I feel totally let down from the system years ago, from schooling to social workers to care homes, totally let down by the whole thing.
But it would mean a lot. It would provide me closure that I wasn't solely to blame. I understand that some of my behaviour caused this, but the system amplified it. I feel totally let down by the system, from schooling, care homes, social workers. The whole system failed me. So, as I stated before, from what you said previously, I've now put it under this question, which is there anything else you would want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm that you have lived with? So what I stated, is I put, why was I failed? Why was I taken from my parents due to being out of parental control, to only be taken out of Burnside by my parents? Then when I was homeless, why was I failed further? There was no one able to help me within the social work department. I was just left to my own devices. It caused me to steal food to survive, steal clothes to keep myself warm. Anything I used to steal was necessary to help me live and cope with my situation. Anything else what you'd like me to add there, David?
I don't think so, no.
No problem. So now it's just a closing and welfare check for the witness statement. So is there anything important that we have not covered or wording that you want handled correctly, David?
No, I don't think so. No.
Are you how are you feeling after discussing this, and do you feel safe to end the call?
I'm actually sitting here shaking. It's bringing back a lot, you know. I'm
I'm sorry
a
to
wee
hear
bit
that, David.
trembly, but I've got anxiety and things anyway, so it's heightened it, yeah. I've managed, it's okay, I'm okay, but yeah, it's brought a lot back, yeah. Like I say, I'm older now and I just want to move on and life settled now, and I just, just want to keep it like that. That's why I keep myself in the ring nowadays. And
I do apologise, obviously, from the recollections of, and obviously how that's affecting you throughout the call. Obviously, we wish to try and make it as smooth process as possible, and try to cause least distress. But as you may know, that it's just a part of it that you'd obviously feel this way. So I've got what I've put is I'm actually sitting here shaking, I'm trembling a little bit as I have anxiety. I've managed, so I'm okay, but it has brought a lot back. I'm older now and I just wish to move on. I'm settled and would like to keep it that way. Is there someone you can contact for support, David, or would you like us to provide you with support service details?
I think I've went as far as getting, support. I've went through what I've been through, and I've done counselling, and I'm in quite a good place now, and I'm happy with that. Life's been pretty basic for us. There's not been any work or anything, and I don't have many friends or anything like that, and I'm quite comfy in my own quiet life now, but I do feel that all comes from my childhood. It's the lack of trust,
Just going to adjust for punctuation and grammar, and then I will relay back to you what I've got, okay? I went as far as I can for support. I'm in a good place now, and I'm happy with that. Life has been pretty basic for me. Not much work, not many friends. I'm comforted by that now. I know that it's from my lack of trust due to what I experienced when I was younger. Have the next steps been explained to you, David?
Has the next steps been explained?
Yeah.
No.
No problem. What I'm going to do is, obviously, I'm just now going to explain to you what the next steps are in relation to your application. So I'm just going to change that question to yes. So essentially, David, what's going to happen now is that following the conclusion of this witness statement, I will go ahead and draft a complete witness statement with any supporting evidence that corroborates your statement today.
Yeah.
So we'll more than likely create an exhibit bundle of your GP records as well as your childcare records, which we've obtained. Once the bundle has been created, it will be passed through to my claims operation manager, James Taylor.
Yeah.
He will then review the witness statement to make sure everything is in order. And then once that has been confirmed, it will be sent back to yourself for you to sign. Essentially, the signature just states that the statement is true and it is the best recollection of your knowledge of your time during throughout CER. And then once you send it back to us, all we'll need to do is book you in for a video meeting, more than likely going to be on WhatsApp. All this is for, David, is just to confirm your identity. It will be a meeting with the head solicitor here at MMA Legal, as well as the claims operation manager, James Taylor. All they wish for you to do is just to have your camera on and have a form of photo ID next to your face. This could be an in-date passport, an in-date provisional license, an in-date driving license, or an in-date Saltia card, so you'll be able to use that. And then once our head solicitor is happy with the verification, we will then be in a position where we'll be able to send your application to the Scottish Redress Panel.
Right.
Following submission, we are hoping that we'll get a response anywhere in between 8 to 12 weeks, but our time period on that is currently unconfirmed.
Yeah.
And then once this has been reviewed by the panel, you'll then receive your formal acknowledgement from the Scottish Government in relation to your time in CER, and also you will be provided any compensation that they deemed appropriate to reward you as well. Is that okay?
Yeah. So you've got all the reports and all the records, like doctors, social works, things like that.
I'll tell you what I've got now. So I've got Coleside Medical Practice, your GP. They've provided us with your GP records. Dundee City Council has provided us with your CER records as well. And then NHS Tayside have also provided us with some records of your time during hospital or any form of like any A&E visits or anything like that.
Yeah.
We also have them records too.
So the likes of the social work reports and that, will that come under Dundee City Council's reports, is it?
Yeah, Dundee City Council, yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be under them, yeah. Like I say, yeah. I always wondered why it was failed from even like social work departments and everything.
Yeah, that's understandable. Well, so what we have your case notes, we have the children's panel and the hearing,
yeah.
Miscellaneous reports, other reports, social worker info sheets as well as, hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the documentation was provided on yourself. Just the social worker info sheets, reports, miscellaneous reports, children's panel and hearing, and then the case notes of your child care.
Yeah. Great stuff. Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep, that's fine, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I'd obviously just like to say, like, thank you for your time today, David. You've been incredibly brave for obviously making a detailed account of your time in care, and I can appreciate you sharing it with me. I know it's obviously quite difficult from what you've experienced and what you're currently going through, but I'd like to obviously express my gratitude in you sharing your story with me today. Fantastic. Well, I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah, you too.
Have a fantastic week. We'll speak to you.
I'll hear from you in the near future, though.
Yeah, well, I've got annual leave on the 5th of September, so I'm hoping that by the 4th of September, I will have all my outstanding witness statements to draft completely bundled and passed over to my claims operation manager for review. So hopefully, within the next couple of weeks, you will be in receipt of your witness statement to sign. No problem. Fantastic.
Okay,
well,
thanks for your time, though.
You're very welcome, David. I hope you have a lovely week. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Too. Yeah, you too.
Cheers.
Thanks very much, Deb.
You're very welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.